going to be here on Sunday nights beginning tonight. Dr. Lynn McMillan will be here tonight to share on the importance of communication in marriage. We'll be sharing some how-to ways of improving our communication in marriage. Next Sunday night, Ron Rose from the Richland Hills Congregation in Fort Worth will be here to talk about the emotional gratification that one is to receive and give in marriage. And then the third Sunday night, or 2 weeks from tonight, Dr. Charles Seibert from Tyler, Texas, is going to be here to begin talking with us how we can develop faith in our children. That is certainly one of the main concerns among us as parents, is how we can grow faith in our kids. He'll be here to do that. And then on the final Sunday night, Dr. James Cale, one of our own, is going to be sharing with us the discipline and control of our children. We're going to have kind of a different format on Sunday night so that you might be aware of it. We've made some special plans and care for some children. What we're going to do is have our regular 6 to 7 o'clock hour. And then we're going to break for about 10 or 15 minutes, and those who want to leave and those who desire to leave can. And then we'll gather back and after about a 10-minute break and have a question-answer session. You might be able to pick the brains of some of these guys that are experts in their field that we've invited in. And we'll have about a 30 to 45-minute sharing session of questions and answers that maybe he can get more specific, maybe with some problems or issues in your marriage or in home life that they can help you with. So you might plan on that. 6 o'clock tonight, Dr. Lynn McMillan starts this evening. If you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to the 128th Psalm. 128th Psalm. Almost exactly in the middle of your Bibles, the book of Psalms and the 128th Psalm. Let me begin this morning with the bad news. Bad news is that over 40% will experience divorce in your adult life. We used to say that the statistics in the world and the statistics in the church were far different, but not any longer. They're about the same. And over 40% will experience divorce sometime in your adult life. Almost half don't make it. Almost half tell the biggest lie that they ever tell on their wedding day. Oh, you remember what's said. In front of about 100, 200, 300, 500 witnesses, what was said is, I will be with you in sickness and in health, in adversity and in prosperity, the good times and the bad, until death parts us. You remember that that promise was made, but now 5 or 10 years later, 10,000 arguments later, it dawns on you that you weren't married by the justice of the peace, but by the Secretary of War. It occurs to you that that guy that once couldn't wait to be with you now can't wait to get away from you. It occurs to you that that lady that once used to love to cook for you now really doesn't care if you starve or not. You remember the promise. The unfortunate reality is that most don't make it. Who knows how many more stay together for the kids' sake or for monetary reasons and emotionally are divorced while still living together. And then we have children that are caught in the middle between a miserable mom and a miserable dad. And a miserable mom and a miserable dad make miserable children who go out into a miserable society and make a miserable society even more miserable. But we live in a society, folks, that for the most part has abandoned God's design for the home. We've got such stuff now as premarital agreements where both parties sign a contract that says if this thing ends in divorce, then you won't lose your shirt in the process. We live in a society where men are bringing boyhood into marriage and then expect their wives to respect them as men. A society of men who don't know what real manhood is, but who want to live the boyish life and be respected by their mate for it. We have women in our society who are concerned more and more these days about career and about climbing their own corporate ladder even more than they care about their families. And the bad news is over 40% won't make it. The good news is that doesn't have to be your marriage. The good news is if you follow God's plan and God's design, you won't be a statistic in misery. The good news is if you follow God's plan and God's design, then men will know what real manhood is. And women will discover the eternal value of their relationships and their families. As we begin our Family Emphasis series, it's appropriate that we begin at the beginning and in the principles that the psalmist gives us in Psalm 128. Let's read together the psalm. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The psalmist begins with his thesis statement in verse 1. It's a generic statement, a general statement that encompasses all people. And literally he says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. The word blessed in the Hebrew tongue is a word that means internal happiness. And the psalmist is saying how happy are all people who will take God seriously, who aren't SMOs, Sunday morning only Christians, but who take God seriously every single day of the week and every single day of their lives. He said, how happy are those who fear the Lord. That word fear in the Hebrew has two ideas in it. One idea is to look up in reverence and in awe and respect. And the other is to look out for judgment or justice. I grew up in a home that's probably pretty similar to most of yours. And as a small child, my respect and awe for my father was just unbelievable. I thought when I was a small child, my daddy could do anything and everything. He was so much bigger and taller than I was. I just thought my daddy could do anything and everything. I respected him for who he was, my daddy. But on those occasions when I didn't give my daddy what he commanded and deserved, respect and honor, I could look for judgment. My dad would go to the closet and open the door and reach in and grab a belt. And I can't tell you the terror that struck when he grabbed that belt. And he'd tell me, first of all, go to your room. And I'd go to my room, and then he'd wait. And he'd wait. And he'd wait. And I would sweat. And I would fear. And I could never figure out what he was doing. Now I think he was getting control of his temper so that he might come in and take care of things. And whenever he'd walk into the room holding that belt in his hand, I knew that judgment was coming. And he'd ask me a very, very troubling question. Ronnie, is this ever going to happen again?
No, Dad, no.
Son, are you sure this isn't ever going to happen again?
Dad, you just don't know how positive I am, you know.
And then the spanking, the judgment. He wouldn't spank me but about 4 or 5 times. But the man came from way back here. Judgment. The psalmist says we begin by fearing the Lord, by giving Him the respect, the awe, the reverence that He deserves. And whenever we don't give Him what He deserves and commands, we can expect to see His judgment. For judgment begins in the household of faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12, God chastens those whom He loves and disciplines us as a father does his son. The psalmist says, if you'll take God seriously, if you'll walk with God in reverence and awe of who He is, you'll have an internal happiness that is indescribable, that you do it His way. It says, who walks in His way. The blessing continues at verse 2. He says, you'll eat of the fruit of your labor. And blessings and prosperity will be yours. In the Hebrew Old Testament poetry, he's saying you'll enjoy the fruit of your labor. Again, remember when you first got married and you really enjoyed the fruit of your labor? You might could only afford beans and cornbread, but you enjoyed the fruit of your labor. And now 5, 10 years later, now that you can afford T-bone steaks, you don't even eat at the same table anymore. And you've lost the ability to enjoy the fruit of your labor. The phrase translated in the NIV, blessings and prosperity will be yours. Literally it says, it will be well with you. And what God is saying in His Word is, if you'll do things My way, if you'll walk in My fear, if you will walk in the way I tell you to go, hell can't stop the blessing that I've got in store for you. Hell can't stop the happiness that I've got in store for you if you'll just do it My way. Notice what he says in verse 3. Your wife. Now, gentlemen, notice that is in the singular. Your wife. Not your second, third wife, your wife. I tell you, ladies, if he ever indicates to you, you come to the elders so that they can go talk to him. But if he ever says to you in any way, hey, I don't need you. I mean, there are plenty of fish in the sea and I'm out here in the middle of the Pacific, sweetheart. I mean, I don't need you. I got along without you before I met you. I can get along without you now. I mean, if you don't do, there are others too. If he ever indicates that to you in any way, you come share that with the elders so they can talk with that guy. Because I tell you, a man who walks with his God, something happens to him in his home. And he understands that he does it God's way, and God's way is your wife. Singular. Your wife. Anyone who goes into the marital relationship or who holds that promise over their mate, if you don't do, I'll get somebody else, isn't walking with his God. Because when you do it God's way, the Bible says your wife. And notice what he says. Will be like a fruitful vine. Man, this is Old Testament poetry at its best. And the picture to an Israelite of a fruitful vine was a picture of a magnificent blessing in life. And he says, if you will do it My way, if you will walk in fear of Me, if you'll do it the way I designed it, your wife will become like a fruitful vine. This is the kind of woman that you're going to have who walks with a man who walks with his God. So much is said these days about an affair being exciting. You know why affairs are exciting to men? Because men are exciting in an affair. They do those things for this new woman that they used to do to excite their wives. And they take that energy and that creativity and that romanticism that they once used to capture their wife and use it on this new woman. And God says, my way is to have your wife. And you use the energy and the creativity and the romanticism and the energy that you once used on her. You use it all through the days of your life. And if you'll do that, she'll be a fruitful vine. Marcia and I used to live on 115th Street. And in our backyard, it was a fenced backyard, but this guy that owned the house before we did had a dog run in the back. He kept bird dogs. And so he put a chain link fence, catty corner across the back corner of this wood fence. And on the chain link fence, he had planted some kind of a vine kind of a deal to cover up that dog run as you looked out the back windows. We never had any trouble whatsoever with that vine during the winter. I mean, when it was cold and wintry outside, that old vine turned brown, and we didn't have any trouble with it whatsoever. But man, when spring came, that vine took off and ran us crazy. I mean, it seemed like it grew a foot a day. I know it didn't, but it seemed that way. Because that vine responded to the warmth of spring and summer, and that thing really took off, and it would bud and flowers would come all over that thing. It was unbelievable. And guys, the reason why many of our marriages are in trouble is because we bring winter home with us and expect a spring-like wife, and it ain't going to happen. I mean, we come home with our cold, insensitive attitudes to her needs and her life and her love. We come home with this wintry spirit, and we want our wife to be a spring flower budding in that atmosphere. And it's not going to happen. If you want a fruitful vine, you've got to provide the atmosphere that can make her fruitful. And that is a caring, loving, sensitive, romantic husband that cares about her needs and cares about her life and cares about her love more than you care about your own. You know what beats anything I've ever seen? We find this one fish out of the whole ocean of women, and we convince her to become our wives. And then we immediately become dull and boring at home. Beats anything I've ever seen. No more flowers, no more love notes, no more phone calls in the middle of the day that just says, you know, I love you, I care about you. No more special dinners on unspecial occasions. And we wonder, what happened to this exciting young thing that we used to go with and we first married? Your wife will be a fruitful vine when you provide the atmosphere that causes the vine to grow and respond. Ladies, look at the last phrase. It says she will become a fruitful vine within your house. Now don't miss that. Within your house. Now, I understand that necessity means that women are called to work outside the home these days. I know what that's like. My wife has had to work outside the home on three occasions already in our married life and may have to do it again. Who knows? And I understand the passage in Titus 2 that says that women are to be keepers at home. It doesn't say stayers at home. It says keepers at home. And I think what God is trying to get across to us is that if you work outside the home, or if you're involved in activities outside the home with PTA or Junior League or whatever, that you never let your job or your outside activities take precedence over your family. Don't ever do that. If your job, your outside activities ever take precedence over your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your wife, then you better get you another job or get out of that activity or learn how to live with less. Because God's way is that your priority is your family. And there is no more important relationship outside your relationship with Christ in this world than your relationship and your family. We've got a society full of women who are climbing the corporate ladder as hot and as heavy as the men are. Now, if career is your thing, great. But if you opt to get married and have children, you understand you are to be a fruitful vine within your house. Not in the marketplace, within your house. God says, the man and woman who walk in fear of Him, who do things His way, have an internal happiness and blessing that even hell can't hold back. And the results, He says, your children, your sons, shall be like olive shoots around your table. Now, an olive shoot is not yet a tree that bears fruit. It's just a branch. But the promise is that the man and woman who walk with God, who fear His ways, who do it seriously with God, begin to nurture and cultivate and encourage that branch, and one of these days that branch will grow to the point it bears fruit. And that's the picture of blessing and promise that comes to us from Psalm 128. People, everybody in this world is raising our kids but us. Daycare centers are raising our kids. Television is raising our kids. Peer groups at school raising our kids. The public schools with their humanistic philosophy raising our kids. Sometimes even the youth group and youth minister are raising our kids. Everybody's raising our kids but us. And it's not anybody's job but ours. And some of us as parents are willing to give our kids the latest gadget. We'll go down, we'll work extra hard to buy anything we can to give to our kids rather than giving our kids what our kids need the most. And that's us. And we stand around and scratch our head and we wonder why all these children are having children. And wondering why in the world there's such a drug problem among our American teenagers. I'll tell you why. Absentee parents. That's why. If kids can't find that attention and that love and their concern from their parents, they're going to go find it somewhere else. And it may be in a promiscuous relationship with someone that bears children, or it may be acceptance among a drug culture that gives them escape from the pain of their home life for just a little while. Folks, our job, is raising our kids. Now, there are a lot of people in our world that can brag about making a million, but there aren't very many who can brag about a million-dollar wife who's become a fruitful vine within her house. And there are a lot of people who can brag about a blossoming career, but there aren't a lot of people that can boast about blossoming children who love their God and who honor and respect their parents. The question this morning is, what's it going to be in your house? Are you going to be one of the statistics in misery? Or do you want to take a good, hard look at your life and your relationship with your God and start where we must start? By doing it God's way. By fearing Him and walking in His way. Because all of the promises that follow are conditional upon the first verse, fearing the Lord, walking in His way. If your life is miserable this morning, and you can feel that your marriage is coming apart, and those relationships with those kids are beginning to fray, frazzle, maybe you ought to contemplate this morning very seriously getting this first verse on straight. It begins in your relationship with God. And as Alan mentioned in his prayer earlier in this service, there can be no real, meaningful, fulfilling relationships in our family if our relationship with God isn't what it ought to be. It begins with God. Let's pray together. Father, for the joy and the responsibility in our families, we give you thanks. But Father, help us to understand that our relationship in our homes is dependent in large measure to our relationship with you. Oh God, I pray that this morning we might resolve to do it your way and ask your help in doing it. We pray that you'll help us as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church, for we understand that is your way. We pray that our wives might be submissive unto us, even as to the Lord, and that they might follow a loving lead from us. We pray that you'll help us to give the loving attention, concern, care, and time to our kids that they need and want so desperately. Help them to respond to our love and to the direction that you call them. Father, bless our families. And for those represented in this room whose families are in trouble, I pray, Father, your Spirit might humble them and convict them to go back to the beginning and do it the way you have designed it to be done. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you have responded to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to come. This morning, if your family is in trouble, and you want the encouragement, the prayers, the direction of the elders who serve us here, who lead us, it may be a great time for you to come and to say to this family, I need some help. This morning, if you want to come and join hands with a family of believers here that are trying to make a difference in the family, not only here, but in our community, we'd invite you to come and help us in that task. We need your help. We invite you to come right now while we stand and sing. Would you come?